So God, as we move on, let us maintain this attitude of worship, knowing that the life we have is the life that you live through us, Lord Jesus. So bless the rest of our time. Bless the word as we hear it. Let it touch our hearts today. In your name.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Joel and worship team, for leading us today. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning or a mobile device of some kind, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Today we're beginning a brand new series. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about everyday faith and what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if some of you were with us back in the spring when, in fact, quite a few of you were with us in the spring when we did our 50-day series where we talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit was poured out, promised by the Father. Jesus left this earth and he said, if I go, he said, I will send to you the Holy Spirit. And out of that coming of the Holy Spirit came the birth of the early church. And so that was, we spent time in the book of Acts on that. What we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to spend a little more time in the book of Acts and look at some of the things that the early church practiced, some of the things that were important to the early church that helped them to live out their faith each and every day. We're going to talk about what caused the early church to be a vibrant, thriving community of believers. How many believe this morning that God intends his church to be vibrant and thriving? Do we believe that? Amen. We're going to look at what contributed to their exponential growth, not just ordinary growth, but actually exponential, like fantastic growth. Why was the early church, why were they so happy? And yet in the midst of great persecution, there was a joy inside of those people. And what contributed to that? Why did they have such favor? And so, if you have your Bibles, we're just going to read a few verses this morning, and then over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a few different passages, probably in the first five or six chapters here of the book of Acts. Picking it up at verse 42, if you have your Bibles, I'm just going to read this passage here. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Let me read that again. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. And selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day, everyone say that with me, every day. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And they broke bread in their homes. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The verse I want to just kind of camp on a little bit this morning is actually the first part of verse 42, where it says, and they devoted themselves. And as I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time looking at some of the things that these early Christians were devoted to. And I really believe what it does is it gives us a little bit of a clue of the kind of things that we need to be devoted to. But when you think of the word devoted, what do you think of? When you think of, for example, you might, sometimes you hear the expression, he was a devoted husband. Just kind of answer in your mind. He was a devoted. It sounds like he's already passed away, but let's change it. He is a devoted husband. Okay, does that sound better? He is a devoted husband. I know some of you maybe lost a spouse, and so you can relate to the fact that your spouse was a devoted spouse. She is a devoted wife. What do you think about? He is a devoted father. We use that word to describe someone. It's a descriptive word. Or she or he is a devoted student. We have students in our church, that many who attend North Island College, and we have students who are just incredible students in high school. So when you think of that word devoted, to describe them as a student or as a father or as a husband or as a mother, what do you think of? What are the things that come to your mind? Well, the word devoted, just some simple definitions of the word devotion or devoted, speaks of unreserved commitment. You might want to just jot this down. There is a little outline in your bulletin, if you didn't know it was there, that you can maybe jot some things down as we go. Unreserved commitment. Maybe just a few more. Holding nothing back. Total abandonment, loyal, faithful, zealous, dedicated, repurposed. When I read that word repurposed, I did a little study on the word devotion, and I came across that word repurposed, and I thought, well, what does that mean? And one of the things that came to mind for me was, in our house, I don't know how many of you guys have picnic coolers in your house, but we have this red and white large picnic cooler that we've had for a number of years, and it started out, we started using it, you know, when we go to the beach, take a picnic, you know what I mean, and you put your food in there and all that kind of stuff. Well, then one day I was going fishing and I needed a cooler to put the fish in, and so I happened to take this red and white picnic cooler and I threw these stinky old fish in it. Well, my wife was not that terribly happy about that when I came home. I mean, she was happy about the fish, but not so happy that I had used her red and white picnic cooler. And so she said, from this day forward, basically, that old picnic cooler was not going to be used for food anymore, but rather it actually ended up being repurposed. Are you with me? It became repurposed only to be used when you go fishing. And how many can relate to that? You can understand where she's coming from. And so, basically, that is the only cooler that I use for that. It's been devoted to fishing. It's been devoted to throwing old salmon, you know, whatever, into. And because in some ways it had lost its original purpose and has now been repurposed. I want you to know this morning that part of this whole idea of devotion is something about when it comes to our lives, when it comes to living out our lives every day, God has a purpose for you. Does that make sense? God has a purpose for your life, for my life, and it's that we would live our lives in total devotion to Him every day. Every day. And here's just a few scriptures that can give us a bit of foundation to this series and to this thinking that we're wanting to spend time on this next little while. 1 Kings chapter 8 in the Old Testament. And I love this verse. It's in verse 60. And it's in your notes. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other, your hearts must be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to live by His decrees and obey His commands. You know, there's something about the world, the world is attracted to people who are passionate. The world is attracted to people who are committed to something. And in this case, he's saying that the world will recognize your devotion when you are wholly devoted. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. Folks, one of the reasons that we want to live wholly devoted lives to Christ is so that the world might know. I think one of the things that's actually holding the church back, holding the gospel from going forward is because too many of the carriers of the gospel are half-hearted. They're not really into it. They're not really wholly committed. That's one of the challenges that we are called to overcome. And so he says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know. It's going to take missions, people that give themselves in missions around the world. It takes wholly committed people to do that, wholly devoted. In order to carry the gospel to the Comox Valley, it's going to take wholly devoted, fully devoted people doing this every day. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God wants to strengthen. There's something strong and powerful that can happen with a life that is fully committed, not half committed, but fully committed. Mark chapter 12, Jesus said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the greatest commandment. And we know the second one is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Acts chapter 20, I love this passage. And it's the Apostle Paul, and knowing In verse 23, Paul, knowing that in every city, he said, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. The Holy Spirit was constantly saying, Paul, here's what's ahead. It's not pretty. And yet Paul, he said, however, he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only that I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. How many know that God has a race for us to run this morning? Jesus has a race for us. He has a task for us. He has an assignment to us. Another word, I didn't put it in there, but another word for devotion is assigned. My wife assigned that cooler to its now new purpose. It's now devoted. It's assigned to something. Your life has been assigned. Are you with me? Has been assigned. Your life has been assigned to the purposes of God and to be lived out each and every day. And Paul, he said, I consider my life worth nothing, if only I may finish the race. How many of that's your desire this morning? You want to finish the race that God has called you to. And some of you are just starting out on the race. Some of you are new believers, new followers. Some of you are young, you're teenagers. You're just starting out. I look down here at Josh and just graduated from high school this year. Just starting out, you're still early in the race. And then I look around and I see some of my heroes like Carl and Elvi up there snuggling up in the balcony, I see people like Carl and Elvi just, you know, with that desire to finish well, to finish the race. I remember Calvin and Claire, over the years, they've gone through times of transition where they were on staff here at CPC, and then as they transitioned to go to Thailand. One of the things Calvin used to always say to me, we want to finish well. And he was a director with Youth for Christ here in the Valley. And after many, many years, he just said, we want to finish well. You remember we talked about that, Cal? And then leaving Thailand to come back to Canada, it was like, we want to finish well. You see, God has called us to a race where while we're in the race, we need to be fully devoted, fully committed, fully engaged. And it's not like, well, now that I've turned 60, I can just sort of take off, you know, like take time off. That's true, I just turned 60. To be honest with you, I'm actually giving a little more thought to this, that I'm probably in the last third of the race, if the truth were to be known. we never know. I don't know if I may not make it till next Sunday. I don't know. But the reality is, whatever part of the race we're in, we need to be running with full devotion. I think that's the essence of this. And so Paul, he lived out this kind of everyday faith. And these are the heroes. These are the role models that we get to be inspired by from the Bible. These everyday believers who were fully devoted. And this is what we are being called to today. This is what we see in the early church. People who were fully devoted, gave themselves wholeheartedly. We've already touched on a couple of quick examples. Acts 2:46, it says, and these are just simple practical things. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together. Acts 2:47, I love this. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One of the reasons that the Lord was adding to the church daily is because there was a welcoming community that was living out their faith every day. And so people were coming to Christ and they were landing in a church where people were committed to the cause of the gospel each and every day. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We're gonna spend some time and talk a little bit about the emphasis that was placed upon the teaching of God's word. It's one of the practical things that we're going to spend time on over the next few weeks. And so the reason that the early church here in the book of Acts not only survived but thrived was because their people were fully devoted to living their lives. They were completely sold out to Jesus Christ. There was no half-heartedness. They were all in, to the point that many of them actually became martyrs for the sake of the gospel. We know that in the book of Acts that the early church experienced great persecution. And many of the early Christians actually lost their lives. We see that happening in our world today where literally people are at the staring down the barrel of a gun, and they're being basically said, "Are you a Christian?" And they're losing their lives because they're lifting up they're identifying with Jesus. So what's happening? What happened then is happening in our world today. We don't know what we are going to face here in Canada going forward, and I'm not here to try to provoke fear in any way. But I'm just saying that it's not about having to make those kind of decisions sometime down the road. We need to make those kind of decisions today. Are we going to be wholehearted, fully devoted today, each and every day? The time to start today, it's not then. The time is now to begin that, making that fully devoted, sold out decision. And I believe this morning that it's in total commitment and full devotion every day that we can find the blessed and full life that we were meant to enjoy. God wants your life and my life to be filled with meaning and purpose. The devil has definitely tried to take us, and he's tried to assign us to a destructive purpose. But friends, full life and meaningful life and meaningful purpose is found only in full devotion to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, and you know this passage, he said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Just some days? Or every day? Every day. Will it be easy? Is it easy following Christ? Is it always going to, are things always going to go well following Christ? I hope so. And I understand where she's coming from. Yes, in the sense that we are, our life is in God's hand. But no, there are going to be times of hardship. There are going to be times of challenge. There are going to be times, as I mentioned earlier, where we could very easily face persecution going forward. Where we could very easily face uncomfortable times. But in all of that, we can anticipate and we can say yes, that God has a full and meaningful and purposeful life for us. I understand what you're saying, Evelyn. Yeah, yes. Yes, we can we can anticipate a full and meaningful and purposeful life at whatever stage of the race we happen to be in. But it will not be without adversity along the way. And so Jesus is inviting us today. He's calling us to living a life of full devotion and full surrender each and every day. One of the things that happens in ministry, in pastoral ministry, is that sometimes you find yourself in situations where people are nearing the end of life, and you're in their at their bedside, you're in their hospital room or whatever, and it's not uncommon to have end of life conversations with people. And some of those, for me, over the years have been very inspiring and very just very rich. I think of my own father and the 3 weeks that I got to spend with him before he passed away, and those great conversations that we had as a father and a son. One thing I can say, that my dad, before he passed away, he never regretted his decision to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. He never regretted that. And you know, when you stop and think about it, people who are fully devoted, you'll seldom, I don't think you would ever hear a devoted husband, someone who's been devoted to their marriage, devoted to his wife. You'll never say, as I near the end of my life, you know, I just wish I would not have been as devoted to my family. I wished I would have goofed off more and would not have been as devoted to my wife. You would never hear that conversation. You would never hear the World Series team say, you know what, guys, you know, we've had a great run here, but I just wish we would not have practiced as much. I wished we would have not really given it our all. I wish we would have just taken a few more days off. You would never hear. It's crazy to think about that. But what they do is they get up and they talk about their devotion. They talk about and they have no regrets that they put all that time and effort into becoming a winning team. Are you with me? And likewise, as followers of Christ, we want to be able to say at the end of the day, there's no regrets. I gave it all. I gave everything I had. To the best of my ability, I served Jesus with all of my heart. I was an everyday believer, follower of Christ. I tried with all my heart to live out my faith each and every day. On the other hand, you often hear people say, if I could roll back the clock, there's some things I would do differently. And I know we all have those times. There's things in my life, as I look back, even as a pastor, there's some things I would have done differently. And I know, we'll go back to the word grace. I'm thankful that we get to live in grace. We need grace every day. And there's no future without grace. But I would say this morning that there are many who would say, if I could do it over again, I would have taken my Christian life and my commitment to Him more seriously. Or maybe I would have taken more risks, or I would have been bolder in my faith. I spent too much of my life playing it safe, being cautious. I think there's a lot of people that would say, I would have loved God more fully. I would have prayed more. I would have given more. I would have shared Christ more. I think those are often conversations that people have. And so the good news this morning, as we begin this, and as we just use the scripture to encourage us, to inspire us, to take it up, take that commitment bar up a little higher, is that we can start today. The good news is that we have the rest of our life in front of us. We have our young adult years, and looking at Josh again, we have this future in front of us. I have maybe a few years maybe 30 years, maybe 50 years, maybe I'll live to be 120, I don't know. I have the rest of my life. I can make decisions today to say, I want to give my life fully, wholeheartedly, in full devotion to Christ and live for Him to the best of my ability each and every day. My wife was sharing with me a conversation that kind of came up in her workplace this week, where, and it wasn't, she hadn't started the conversation, but it just, it came out, it came up in a conversation where she was involved in having to give a response. And the question was, if you knew that you only had 1 week to live, or 1 month, or 1 year to live, would you do anything different? It's a good question. And I realize that we're not all going to go out and just quit our jobs tomorrow and go stand on a mountain and give the rest of our life in prayer. It's a question that just makes you stop and think about, perhaps we need times in our life where we re-examine our priorities and the things that we're committed to and the things that we think are important. And are we giving the rightful things their rightful place in prominence in our life? And so the future of the church, the future of the body of Christ, making a difference in this crazy world that we live in, it's going to be the result of people who are completely sold out, completely and fully devoted. And so the goal of these next few weeks is to encourage us to live out our faith each and every day. The title of the series is just Every Day. If you look on the front of your bulletin, and Pastor Johnny actually designed the little graphic. Maybe can we pull that graphic up there, Michael? And he kind of slotted in all the 31 days of the month. You maybe can't always see that in some of it, but I just thought it was kind of a neat. That's kind of a picture that he saw in his mind, and the whole idea is that each and every day we are being called to live out our faith as fully devoted followers of Jesus. I don't know how you voted. I know it's not that important this morning, but the one thing I was kind of drawn to the little slogan of our new prime minister, who we need to be praying for, whether you voted for him or not. But he said, "Believe." He said, "Believe that better is possible." I think that was a slogan, something like that. Believe that better is possible for Canada. And as I was thinking about that this week, as it relates to our commitment to Christ, as our commitment as a church, we need to believe that better is possible. We need to believe that we can grow in our commitment to Christ and to His church. That our commitment to Him can be greater. That we can shake off any mediocrity. And this is where encouragement comes in. To shake off anything that might be keeping us from being more fully devoted. And there's all kinds of... I started to make a list, and I'm not even going to go into it this morning. But there's all kinds of things that can hinder us from being fully devoted and cause us to fall back into mediocrity. You might want to just think about that and just ask yourself the question, what are some of the things in my life that are perhaps keeping me from being fully devoted the way that God has called me to? And so, I guess the goal in all of this is that we would live every day without regret. And when there is regret, that we would draw upon his grace and draw upon his mercy so that we can get up and get going again the next day. So oftentimes we have a regretful day and we fall into the doldrums of shame and guilt and then we end up landing there and we can't get out. But grace always says, get up, you can do it, you can go, you can be better, you can go forward, you can live out a fully devoted life. And that's what I love about communion. It's one of the reasons why we want to do communion on a regular basis, is because it reminds us again. You see, everyday faith, folks, starts with Jesus. Everyday faith starts with Jesus. And it comes back to Jesus, the fact that on communion, we're reminded that Jesus gave himself fully to us. How many are thankful for that this morning? Jesus gave him, he poured out himself for us today. He didn't hold anything back. If there's anyone who's an example today of total abandonment, are you with me? Total abandonment, unreserved commitment, who laid it all on the line, went all the way, it was Jesus. He's our hero today. He's our example. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, Jesus emptied himself and became a servant, obedient to death, even death on a cross. And that's what we're remembering this morning as we have communion together. And so everyday faith starts by receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Every one of those early disciples that we read about in the book of Acts, they all accepted the invitation, first of all, when Jesus said, come follow me. Every one of them. They didn't become part of God's family. They didn't become part of the church unless, first of all, they responded to Jesus' invitation to come and follow me. And friends, I wanted to say today, if you are here, being part of a church is not just attending a church. Being part of this great cause of the gospel being taken to the world starts by individual people, one by one, boys and girls, teenagers, young people, young adults, seniors, all saying yes to Jesus and giving their lives over to him. Acts 2 in verse 38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You see, you go back into the early parts of Acts chapter 2, and that's what you see. That's how the church, early church began, was the call went out for people to repent, to turn their lives over to God. Acts 2:19 says, repent and then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. How many are thankful that our sins have been wiped out through the blood of Jesus Christ? That your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You know what? What he does when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, what he does is he takes us, and where Satan has come to destroy us, he repurposes us back to God's original plan and purpose. That's the hope of the gospel. And so, everyday faith starts with today. Everyday faith starts when people give their lives over to Jesus Christ today. And the good news is that everybody can have this new start. Everybody, there's not one person in this room today, and I don't know everyone that's here today, but there's no one in this place that is beyond the hope of a new beginning, a new start, a fresh start. Where everyday faith can begin today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, for God says, indeed, I love this, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow. Not something that I'm just going to put off. But today. And this applies to all, even though some of you, most of you here today already are followers of Jesus. But today can be the day where you say, I want to be a fully devoted follower. I don't want to just do this half-hearted thing anymore. But I want to say today, if you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal friend, Lord, Savior, that today is a good day to open up your life and say, Jesus, I receive you. I accept you. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I haven't been following you. I acknowledge that I've been kind of doing my own thing and running my own life, and it hasn't been working out so good. But today I give my life to you. Today I turn my life over to God. Today I turn my life and my past over to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, who's come to forgive us of all of our sin, to wipe away all of our sin. The Bible says he takes our sin and he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's good, isn't it? He says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's why we can go forward with hope. That's why we can live every day with hope. Because we have his grace powerfully working in our lives. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me before we move into communion. What a great time before we receive communion. Communion is for those who have accepted Jesus into their lives. Communion is for those who have made a decision to follow Jesus. Communion is for those who are struggling, who are saying, I'm having a tough time, but I really need God's grace at work in my life. And so communion just reminds you to bring your stuff back to the cross. Communion is for you this morning. But if you haven't started that relationship with Jesus, then why not do it right now? And so I'm wondering this morning if there's anyone in this place today that would say, today I want to begin. Maybe you're here and you have not received Jesus into your life before. Or maybe you've backslidden, you've turned away from God, but today you just sense the Holy Spirit just calling you back home. And today you want to start. Today it's a new start, a new beginning for you. And you want to get things right with God. And if that's you this morning, would you just, heads are bowed, people are praying, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you this morning. Is anyone here today that would say, that's me today? Today is a new day for me. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want to start today. I want to start today. If that's you, just quickly, just put up your hand. And yes, God bless you. Is there anyone else this morning? You just, folks, church, just be praying for the people around you right now. Is there anyone else? Just quickly, just put your hand out. I just want to pray for you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this person who, Lord, has just acknowledged their desire, their need for you. And Father, for those that maybe didn't raise their hand, you know what's going on in their heart right now. And so I just give that over to you. I give that over to you. I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would just do your work that I cannot do, but you do it. I know you'll do it. I know you'll do it. And so, Holy Spirit, just continue to put out that invitation for people to come to you. And Lord, for the rest of us, God, just we want to give ourselves completely over to you this morning. And as we receive communion together, as we receive communion together, thank you that you gave yourself without any reservation. You gave yourself total abandonment for us. And I pray that as a church that we would take that and let that be our cue for how we're going to live our lives for you. And so we want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So let's stand together, everybody. How many are thankful for Jesus today? Everyday faith starts with Jesus. And we have his grace to help us live out this every day. In communion this morning, I just thought it was a great way to begin this by just being reminded of how Jesus just gave it all for us. He gave it all for us. He gave it all for you. I couldn't help but think that as we leave this morning, that the Comox Valley needs you. The Comox Valley needs you every day. The Comox Valley needs you every day to live out your faith fully devoted to Jesus, to the best of your ability, with His power and with His grace at work in your life. And someone said, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Do you know that? It's the first day. It's the first day of the rest of your life. And there's some things we can't go back and undo, but you know what? We can have influence over today and tomorrow and every day. And so I want to encourage you to go with hope and with faith and trust, and let's believe God that the world is going to know that there's something different about us, and that the hope for Canada is not the next political movement or power or prime minister. The hope for Canada is sitting right here, the Church of Jesus Christ. And so let's give it our all, okay? Amen.